Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello. oh my goodness, as everything freezes on my secondary screen, this is a good sign. That's all I'm gonna say. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
I should probably, I'm like, it's weird. I just started the stream and then I went into like stream mode and not podcaster mode because I rarely actually see my face.
Shouldn't you be going into stream mode and not podcaster mode?
Well, no, that's not my point. My point is that I feel like essentially my mind went into, oh, it's a stream, so I have like 5 hours to like figure out how to talk, and that's not the case right now. No, hello everyone, welcome. I hope you're doing well. I should probably post this in the Discord to invite people in.
We haven't heard anyone.
Wabs, do you want to get on that? Oh, that'd be great. Actually, do you have? I don't even know if you have access to Age of Empires. Maybe Boxer Sank can get the Age of Empires podcast. Matt, you can tell me to put the stream on. Chaos Maker, hello, welcome. Already a patron coming in. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, this is the anniversary stream. It is exactly the budget that you expect from us when it comes to the visual quality. It's not zero, but it is something. I hope all of you are doing well. I'm joined, maybe I should introduce everyone like I was literally saying before. So let me start by... I don't know, Boxer Saint's here from the Age of Empires podcast. Welcome. Oh my goodness, you are muted for me. So you have successfully.
No, I fixed it. I'm not muted. That was on purpose. I'm glad to be here. I made some time for you. You know, I'm busy destroying people in tournaments, but definitely wanted to be here for this.
You know what's even better about your getup? Like, you're also an Age of Empires streamer, you know? Like, you're not even, like, playing Call of Duty, you know? You're not playing, like, yeah. 2K.
I really think the Age community is missing a little bit of toxicity, you know? Too much politeness, too much GG. Like, we need a little more, you know, too easy into the game.
Time to start up the Age of Empires pro gamer esports scene.
Yes. We need the real programmers. None of these fake nerds, okay? We need the bros, okay? That's what we need, apparently.
Who is the StarCraft guy? Idra? Was that the guy?
Idra? You want Idra? Actually, speaking of which...
some Idra energy in the Age of Empires.
Speaking of which, I brought the shirt. So if you are playing our game, here's your first StarCraft reference. I wonder if Matt gets that reference. You get that reference, Matt? Mm-hmm. Have I made that reference before? I think I made it with Boxer Saint. I don't know if I've made it.
I can't see your whole shirt, so.
Okay, it says, it's a StarCraft shirt.
Oh, okay.
But the joke is that, like, rule one in the drinking game is if I mention StarCraft. So somebody's, like, you know, at least half a beer in right now if they're playing along. So, yeah, we're joined by Boxer Saint.
The drinking game is also part of the drinking game. Forever.
Yes. You also lose the game. Thank you, everyone. Wow. I'll see myself out. 90s references.
And that's been our anniversary.
Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, amazing. So Boxer Saint's with us on our monthly Age of Empires show. Boxer Saint, I'm going to leave it to you. Do you want to announce the thing that we've talked about very recently on this show?
I can announce it. That would be great.
Okay, okay, there you go.
So because of just popular demand of wanting to hear more of me and less of Lazero, I didn't want this. Lazero is bowing to the people. And so we give the people what they want in ASAP Weekly. And you wanted more boxers. So here I am. I'm going to do a single solo show a month. I'll also allow Lazero to come on once a month with me to co-host. Because just for continuity and what he's done for the community and for the show.
You have to.
So that's the agreement we worked out. We're doing it for the people. We'll give it a shot this year, see how it goes. We'll bring in some more of the competitive spirit. I might do some streamer reviews, some guys that I think you guys might be able to learn from. And I'm very excited. to shed some dead weight and get this thing moving.
You know what's even better is that, like, I swear I've never seen Boxer Saint do his bit here. Like, I've never seen your gimmick. I love everything about it. That's amazing. Yeah, so we're gonna try to get two times a month Age of Empires going. But as Boxer Saint said, you know, they've had enough of me. So I will only be on once a month. And there you go. So I will stick to my schedule. Okay. I actually asked Boxer Saint if I could be on every week, and he's like, no, we need regular content. All right. We don't need you. So there you go.
Quality over quantity is what we're going for.
Wow. Yes. Less live zero. Chaos Maker. Wow. Wow.
True fan.
I'm going to hit from the stream chat as well. Amazing. Okay, so there you go. There's Boxer Saint. There's your introduction. So what I think is even more hilarious to me is that somebody who has never listened to our Age of Empires show, right? Because this is going out on all the feeds. So with someone who's either listened to the Pokemon show or the Rocket League show, this is their first impression. So like, this is what they think Boxer Saint is like. So I enjoy that.
Instant ratings go up. Instant views. Instant listens immediately.
Yes. All right. We're also joined by Matt. So how's it going, Matt?
Hey. I'm Matt. I'm on the semi-monthly, whenever we get around to it, Pokemon podcast.
Yes. Matt is the fun bringer of the podcast, and actually that would be a great sword. The Funbringer, or maybe like a novel title. But what I would want to say,
the Funbringer,
it'd be like a mighty sword in a fantasy novel. But what I did want to say is that, yes, the Pokemon podcast to me feels like what's great about it is I never know when it's going to show up, but then I just kind of remember once a month and I'm like, yeah, it's time to get it. And we're like at the very tail end, right? I think we have two more shows kind of planned out, right? At this point, we want to do a review show for 2022 and we want to do a full recap of the new Pokemon game. But after that, you know, we're gonna have to sit down, we're gonna have to talk the talk, we're gonna have to figure out what we'll actually be doing in the future. But Matt's been great, and welcome, Matt. On the last, and like I said on a recent show, certainly the least, Wabs is here. How's it going, Wabs?
Yeah, it's me. I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing? Let me know everything. Let me know everything about you.
Wait, you want everyone to know everything about them, like right now?
Yes.
I mean, this is fun
too.
Your
deepest, darkest secrets. I want all of the information. Just spew it.
Boxer Saint Matt, any takers?
Type A or B, because my mom is O negative and my dad is AB positive, so.
Well, I think you're going from the guess route because of science instead of being like, I know my blood type. No, you're just guessing.
Well, it's either one or the other.
Amazing.
Boxer Saint, any? Universal donor.
Whoa. Just a giver. Just really
not
giver.
Everyone's
that
special.
Are you doing two episodes a month?
I mean, if you with all that Gatorade, you know, like I guess that's what happens to your blood.
O negative, G positive.
Yeah, back when I was a kid, I used to wonder, like, why is it that my mom is always the one who gives blood, my dad never does? And then I learned what blood types are, and I realized, oh, nobody wants his blood.
Fair enough. You know, Nick Tackler in the chat was saying, thought this was a series finale. No, Nick Tackler, this is actually the season premiere for 2023. Season finale is next year. So there you go. I'm not announcing that the show's done, but he said series. I'm going to say season, all right? Because we're going to leave it on a cliffhanger and then we'll see if we're renewed, okay? On the 5th year anniversary. But there's a whole bit going, okay? There's this guy in the... So I need to give some reference. This guy named Sunless Khan in the Rocket League community. Every podcast he's been on has afterwards stopped. All right. So the joke is that I'm going to try to get this super famous YouTuber on every single week for the next year. And we'll see if he shows up in the last day. But he also sounds like Seth Rogen. So I might just pretend to be Seth Rogen for the last episode. with that in mind, what I want to actually start the podcast with, since it is an anniversary show and I like kind of talking about what we remember, the first thing that we'll do is we'll kind of go through each of us and remember what our first kind of podcast. Like, what do you remember about the first time you were on the podcast or kind of me, whatever the story was, right? Whatever reason that you started with this podcast, what that story was. Thank you, by the way, Roos Alex, for the congrats on the 4 years. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone. 4 years. Yeah. We're at 4 years. Yeah. Time flies. So we'll start with Boxer Saint. Do you remember, one, how you got onto Age of Empires podcast? And also, two, like what your first impression of either me or the general community, the ASAP Weekly network, quote unquote, corporate speak. What were your first thoughts, Boxer Saint?
It was very corporate. I listened to the show and I noticed there was a rotating group of co-hosts. So I didn't know how that worked, but I reached out to Lazaro. I was like, hey, dude, I could jump in. I've done some podcasting in the past. I've obviously got a voice for radio and a face for video. So whatever you want to do. So I reached out. I didn't know it was just Lazaro running 15 different podcasts. I thought it was just whole, because you can't find anything. It says ASAP Weekly Network. And then you you found the website and there's like 15 podcasts. Like, okay, well, this is like, probably won't hear back. And then he's like, yeah, thanks, dude. I'd love to get you on because like, this is hard to run all these shows by myself. I was like, what? This guy's like the Joe Rogan of gaming podcasts, just interviewing anybody and everybody about everything.
Anybody that is willing to be interviewed.
Yeah. So I thought the bar was really high, but the bar was really low. I just kind of.
All right. Okay. Right in my defense, the first time the Boxer Saint was on the show, was that the jujitsu one where we talked about
jujitsu? That jiu-jitsu was the jujitsu one.
All yeah. right. I ended that show. I'm like, he was great. Yeah, this works. That was literally it. It was like after that, I'm like, let's make it a regular thing. So
and you were right. He was great. He was amazing. I'm pretty good. So that was my first. I thought it really is a professional. You know, Zero does a pretty good job of keeping these things going. I don't even listen to the other podcasts, but just to hear that you run these also monthly, that's insane. I ran a Warhammer podcast like once a month, and that was I struggled to get that out with a buddy. So yeah, it's pretty good deal you got going on here, and for 4 years. That's a lot of longevity too.
Yeah. We are still here somehow, despite, and actually, since this is an anniversary show and I do like bring it back to the original version of the podcast, despite the haters in the Artifact Reddit community, what was the greatest line? The greatest line I ever heard. Like, we actually got like a lot of negative feedback in that time, but it mostly had to do with that specific game. And the feedback was, cost sunken fallacy, sunk cost fallacy, because I was like continuing the Artifact podcast, and even though like more people were listening to our show, the like amount of people playing the game was like falling down like a rabbit hole like crazy.
You should have kept going, then you could have been the more popular Artifact than Artifact.
We were at some point, weren't we?
We had more listeners listening to our Artifact show than people playing the game, 100%.
That's impressive.
At one point.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It was 10, but I'm going to identify. But yeah, there you go.
More than how many people were playing Artifact at the time, so.
Yes. For anyone who doesn't know, the Artifact was like, if you know Hearthstone or Magic, it was like that for Dota, right? It was like the Dota's version of the card game. So that was the original. So the ASAP, and I probably say this on every anniversary show, was originally, I mean, I was going to laugh at this, but it was Artifact Super Awesome Podcast. That was the force. I just wanted to say something that was like a word, you know, like I wanted the first letters to actually spell a word. And then I just forced that in. So that's actually the reasoning. And then weekly became a thing. I don't know, because there's a lot of SEO on ASAP like by itself. Yeah. So I'm like, I need to differentiate it. It can't just be straight ASAP. So there you go.
And I thought that was your scheduling style.
It was a scheduling thing.
You'll DM me and be like, can we do a podcast tomorrow? And I'm like, he's taking ASAP. We're serious.
Oh my goodness. Actually, to this point, this is why there's a calendar now. It's because people are like, okay, let me know ahead of time when the show is. Let's stop doing this like ASAP as soon as it happens. all right. I'm going to go through some of the chat comments here as we're continuing on, and then I'll get to Matt here. Awesome says, I can't believe I joined the community right at the end of Fruit Wars. It feels like just yesterday. Yeah, Fruit Wars was a great joke where all of a sudden we were just making memes about which fruit was the best. So I very much remember that. And then other people, like a year later, like it kind of resurrected somehow in the Rocket League community. I'm like, nah, we've already done this, okay? We're the hipsters. We've done this before. It was cool. Yeah, oh yes, wow, we're getting the greatest of all things copy past a promotion from a bot. That's great. I think that's really it. Nick Tackler saying trying to explain Artifact. Yeah, I don't think I could explain Artifact even to you, Nick Tackler, as big as your brain is.
You played cards and defeated your opponent.
Yes, and they did really cool things. I still think it was a fun game, but I'll digress. We don't need to talk about Artifact anymore. It's part of our hidden past.
It's an artifact at this point.
It is.
There's Matt with his great jokes. Matt joined me for the Pokemon podcast. When did it like the Pokemon podcast really start? I wonder if you remember. I can look it up, but
it was not long after the release of Sword and Shield.
And Sword and Shield, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, because like that was the crucible that like triggered us to start the podcast, because we were just talking about Pokemon and like that game did real trauma to me. So that was our first episode, was me complaining about Sword and Shield.
What was hilarious to me is that by the time, because we did a revisit, so that was the very first episode we did. Well, we did like an intro episode, but then we did that as like our first kind of main thing, like the premise of the show just being reviewing the old Pokemon games. But when we revisited, I actually had much better opinion of it just because of the expansions, and Matt refused to get them. And I'm like, I agree. If you didn't like the full game, why would you ever get the expansions, right? Like the expansions as a standalone $20 game would have been great, you know. if I didn't have the rest of the game, just these mini stories, that would have been great. But yeah, no, that kind of started. There was, I mean, I'm just like trying to think as to like when I reached out. I mean, there's part of me, Wabs makes this joke, right? But like some part of me doing these podcasts is literally like, oh, because I do these, I keep up, you know, with friends and able, like we actually have a talk and we talk about the stuff that we're both interested in. Because it's like, it's funny to say like, oh, I like here's the schedule for like when I'm going to talk to you. But I think there's part of that in there as well, is that you get to keep up. And I think that's partly why I invited Matt on. And I think it's been going great ever since.
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea you were running all these different podcasts. You were just like, hey, did you want to start a podcast talking about Pokemon? I'm like, ah, sure. I have no idea how to do that. And you're like, don't worry. I do.
Wow. It's actually funny that you like mentioned that. Because like, I think at this point, like starting a podcast is far easier than we started. I think when Wabs and I started, the barrier of entry was a lot higher, right? Like all the podcasting companies, like you had to pay a certain amount just to, like for them to host your podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And now you have a couple of these companies that essentially for free, you can just start uploading, and then it literally does all of the like reaching out to different other companies really easily, right? Like Anchor, especially, right? The Spotify one. It's like you can get it on Spotify, Apple, and all the like Amazon Music, whatever it is. They all do it. Literally the website you use does it for you now, right? But when we started, that wasn't the case. We started with a different company, and then it was like, I think when another like startup approached me, it's like, hey, do you want to host it for us and we'll let you do it for free? I'm like, yes. And they were great because I worked with them ever since, the Red Circle, right? But it's one of those things that I think it's interesting that the space right now is like, you know, there's so many podcasts, like there's some sense of like being oversaturated or undersaturated, but like if you have an interest, there's probably a podcast for it. And if there isn't a podcast for it and you know how to talk, you can probably make a podcast for it and have it be somewhat successful. So I really like that. We're getting our first question in chat, so this will start us off here. Chaos Maker, between Romance Corner and all the podcasts, how do you have any time, LaZero? How do I do it? I think it'll be good if all the guests pull out a theory first, and then I'll I guess explain. And we'll start with Wabs, since he's been, you know, part of this thing since the beginning. Go ahead, Wabs.
A theory for how Romance Corner and all the podcasts can happen.
I like how Romance Corner is included as a separate, like
it is its own podcast.
We'll talk about that in a second. But yes, continue.
I think that you are just able to slow down time or freeze time at some point, and then you just are doing school or whatever else for, you know, you do your job because you have a job, and then And then at some point you just freeze time and you do all three, or maybe you reverse time for a bit. You do all three podcasts or all four or all five or however many you're doing at this point at the same time. And that's my guess. You're doing all of them at once. And then Romance Corner is happening on the side when we also do it at the same time because it's an own podcast.
Yeah. So I'm in a Prisoner of Azkaban vibes is what, what I'm hearing from you. Okay.
Yeah.
Matt, what's your theory?
My theory is that if you treat 15 different podcasts as a social life, and that gives you a lot of free time.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I mean, you just admitted to like, oh, I can use it to keep track of friends. It's like, well, if you just substitute ever actually going to see friends with talking to them on podcasts once a month.
That's all you need to do.
You're not wrong, but I don't think you're right either. That's all I'm going to say. No, that's great. That's hilarious. Boxer Saint, what do you got?
So first of all, I'm a father of two. I'm going to assume you have no kids.
Yes, yes, obviously.
Okay,
yes.
So that helps a lot. That's a force multiplier right there. That gives you a lot of free time. Also a lot of free money that I don't have personally. And then the second one, I'm going to go with Matt a little bit where... I don't know that you really play Age of Empires. I feel like that's the dirty secret of the podcast. I don't you play Age.
Yeah. This will be good. I like where this topic is going. You finish your thought, but then we got a topic for this.
This is your age engagement. Is you talk about the game more than you play it?
Yes, I respect it.
I respect the game.
No, I'll be honest. I think this is probably the big thing with well, because right now we have three podcasts, right? Like, let's be honest. This is the three. There are times I was trying to do like a Hearthstone or Terra type stuff, and there's just too many going at once. So I was trying to do like four shows a week. It was ridiculous. And I think on top of it, like what I am doing is like going to the future. Like we're looking at with the calendar, right, where I'll be on slightly less shows. Instead of seven shows a month, I'll be on five shows a month. But the point that I'm trying to make is I think the one big thing for me is just especially like with the esports side of things for Rocket League and Age of Empires, just keeping up with that in itself is a lot, right? And so I find, like, for instance, if I play like an hour, like 2 hours, 3 hours of Rocket League, that probably could have been time spent watching Rocket League and then using it for the review to actually use on the show, right? So those are like decisions of Age of Empires. It's definitely I would say I'd probably play Age of Empires like once a month, and it's usually with friends. And I think I've spoken about that on the show. I'll play the campaign from time to time if I get interested in like the campaign, especially the AoE4 campaign, the newer one. But for me, it's very much like with friends, I'll play AoE. Pokemon is dependent on where we are in the cycle of when the new Pokemon game is released, in which case I'll play a lot of Pokemon just after it's released for the next 2 weeks. And then it's probably like very little Pokemon until the next game releases. That's kind of how it went. Although I will say, for the course of our podcast, like we started with Sword and Shield expansions, right? We had the Pokemon Diamond remake. We had the Arceus, right? And we have Scarlet Violet. So it's with Pokemon, it's like a twice a year thing where
every 6 months there's a new Pokemon content thing that needs to be gone through, and how far I get depends on how good of a product it is.
Yes. And we've purposefully not been telling each other if we finished the game or not, so that'll be a surprise once we get to it. But if for anyone who is listening, I will say my quote-unquote how should I put this, my quote-unquote foreshadowing is that my review now is much more positive than my first review. That's all I'll say. Okay, there you go. But yeah, there you go. So it's I think that's one of those things. It's like if I were to dedicate the time I probably needed in each of the individual games, I don't think I could do all the podcasts. I think that's just the reality I'm at now, to Boxer Saint's point, right? I think what I like to do, and probably I am planning and hoping to do more of, especially for the major tournaments, I think I've experienced this both in Rocket League and in Age of Empires, is to have like those like specific big game recaps. I think those are really good. And then that just requires me to write notes and then like have the whole recap, and then you can actually talk about the strategy and stuff. So that's probably, I think, the level of commitment I would like more for myself, like for the future podcasts. But it's one of those things. It's like, am I going to be playing every game every week? No, like that's just the reality, right?
But managing and organizing and coordinating, like, that's a skill set. Like, it's not, I don't knock it. I wouldn't be on a podcast if you weren't managing, coordinating it, because it's too much for me to worry with my life right now. So, like, it's a good partnership on this side. You do the stuff that I'm not interested in, and then I do the stuff that you don't have the time for, which is keeping up with the game, staying embedded in the community, like tournaments and stuff. So yeah, I think it's a good.
Yeah, and that's why I think especially it's probably a lot harder, I would say, even like honestly on the Rocket League show, right? That's a weekly show. Because in Age of Empires, I've had a full month. So it'll be a chance that I've watched some of the tournaments. There'll be a chance that I've played the game a little bit. Or at the very least, there'll be a big update that I can talk about. And I can talk RTS eyes closed to death, you know, general stuff, right? And how changes impact stuff. Pokemon is by far the easiest breeze for me and Matt, because I think, like the people listening, I don't think the people listening are like, let me go play Pokemon Yellow and then listen to someone talk about Pokemon Yellow. It's more like nostalgia based, because people play the games and then they hear us recap and they maybe have some memories. So I think that podcast goes very smoothly because it's mostly just researching what the game was. And then Matt's been really great too, because I think, I don't know if it's in Matt's nature to like naturally kind of take on the responsibility of maybe recapping some of the things. I think I asked him to do it once, but now we kind of share that responsibility as we're doing the show. And I think that works great because we just bounce off. I'm going to go to the next question here in the chat. Oh, actually, Matt, did you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, you're pretty correct that like I like to recap things because, you know, I enjoy narratives in games. So either praising or being snarky at a narrative is a very fun thing to do for me.
Fair enough. Roos Alex asks, would you have done anything different knowing what you know now versus 4 years ago when you started? Woo! Okay. Would I have anything? I'm sure there's something I would have done differently.
Does it have to be related to the podcast?
I would choose a different career path, okay? I would become the pro gamer I was always meant to be. No. Would I have done anything different? But because now that you've said that, Matt, I'm thinking philosophically. So yeah, I'll get back to you in 20 minutes. But no, I would say it's one of those things where the things that I tried and failed, I learned from. So I don't necessarily want to disregard like the attempt of the AOE1 like history podcast. That was kind of the beginning of the Age of Empire podcast, where it was just me trying to do solo shows and like research some of the history. I personally think those are some of my worst shows, because they're individual shows. Like later on, I had a couple people and then it went a little better, but individual shows were one very hard. That was a realization to me, is that specifically podcasting by yourself is very difficult. But part of me also felt that those were important in the sense that if I hadn't tried those things, like I wouldn't really know how I felt about them. And as well, I think there's another part of me that's like, if I ever do those again, and I think like Boxer Saint and I tried to do a history one. And I think that show wasn't bad actually, because we both kind of brought a little bit, but I had the realization that I'm like, okay, if I were to actually seriously do an AOE history podcast, I would need to be preparing. What's the university rule? 3-1, right? So if I'm doing a 1-hour podcast, I need to probably spend 3 hours of my week beforehand, like actually preparing, knowing all the historical facts and knowing I have a general knowledge of that thing. So I think that's one thing, right? Is like, if I'm going to do a history show, I need to put the extra time into it. Someone like said anime, right? Would there be an ASAP weekly anime podcast? I think it's bound to happen eventually. However, once again, I think that show that I'm going to do would be something that is either once a month or once every 2 months. And it would be a research show where I take something I like from an anime, some kind of, you know, human thing, some kind of political thing, maybe some kind of philosophical thing, and then use that as a basis to talk about those things. And I think that's kind of, you know, one of those things. There was the Runeterra thing that I tried like on and off. And it was really cool because one of the guys from Action Esports, right? He's working for Action Esports. He's doing those YouTube videos. He was on with me, Nikita. And that was really cool because I really enjoyed talking to him. But I think what that helped me realize is that there's, like, I've done this for a while, but burnout is a very real thing. And especially as you're trying new things, you get really excited about those things, but then it's like, are you going to keep doing this like regularly? Are you going to have a social life? Are you going to go talk to people in real life? Which I couldn't do, right? With these shows that I do now, like most of these shows, I don't have that extra pressure or stress. Like it's not shows that like take out away from me, from my general energy, right? They're things that I do, that I go to, I enjoy, and I don't really stress or worry about them. But I think what I realized there, it's like, there's a reason that the other shows have been once a month, right? They switched to once a month formats, right? The Rockley one I've stuck just because this is the first one. Like it's our longest running one that we've done the weekly shows. But even as you'll see kind of going into the future of the year, is I'll be only appearing twice a month, right? That'll be a change that I'll be doing there. And with Boxer Saint, right? I know we were joking at the beginning of the show, but the announcement, Tori, seriously, yeah, you kicked me off. But the idea is I want more for the Age of Empires, because I feel like there's enough in the Age of Empires community, especially the game and like what we haven't dived into, to have shows twice a month. But I know, like personally, it would be too much for me if I was on those shows as well, right?
Yeah, not super smart to do that and not risk burnout. And that's also, I know it's hard to also relieve some of that creative initiative and hand it off. So that's kind of your baby, and you're giving me your baby, and I might drop it. But it'll bounce up. We'll be good. I'll take care of them.
As a thick skull.
You said you had how many children?
Two. Oldest one is five, so he's made it. He's got his knees are all bruised up. He's got a big scar on his back this week.
That's all that matters.
We live a rough life here. I'll do an aside. He went to karate last night for the first time, but he wore his jiu-jitsu gi. And then all the instructors at karate were like, this is his first time in. And they're like, does he do jiu-jitsu? Almost like, why is this awesome kid here? He should not be in karate. He should be wrestling people to death. That's how we run our life. Yeah.
That's great. Awesomeness.
One thing to ask you as a thing that you might have changed. Did you end up buying that Axe card way back when?
Would I buy Axe coin?
No, the Axe card, basically Axe coin.
No, that was the joke. It was Axe coin. Okay, so
Axe coin.
For reference, the Steam market, like the cards in Artifact were on the Steam market, and people were buying like the most expensive card and then trying to make it like sell. But then because people stopped playing the game, the value of it dropped.
It was NFTs.
NFTs. About to say, like, this just sounds like NFTs, but on the Steam marketplace.
Yep.
We're talking about the I'm just gonna like real quick, we currently have started up using a sound editor again. Your boy Hunty was great, by the way. Your boy Hunty, I have full respect to you. yes, I think it's one of those things where it's tough, because I think Hunty has so much other things going on, and I think as well, like, one of the things that I was thinking about is, like, I feel at this point Hunty's been around so long, but there's something about having someone you completely don't know, like a stranger doing the sound editing, that is nice, because like the interactions is like way less personal, right? So you're able to say like, hey, can I have this? And then the show releases a little more quicker. I don't want to force Hunty in that, right? Because like when Hunty started, he was a volunteer, right? And then for a little bit, I was able to pay him a bit, but then it also stopped making sense with kind of how the podcast was going. So that was a whole thing in and of itself. Okay, in the most recent episode, there wasn't a sound editor, because what happened? Like, did we just not use Zencastr? Like, what happened?
Yeah, Wabs. We were in Discord because Zencastr has been iffy when we have the 4-person shows with that set of people.
Okay, well, I guess the first thing is to find a program we can record with that isn't Zencastr that works with 4 people, or, like, it seems it works fine for us right now. So that'll be something that we'll keep in mind. No, but like Hunty was great. I mean, we had Hunty on last year as well. And his brother as well. That was really fun, because I believe, Wabs, didn't you donate a whole bunch on behalf of me? I mean, I don't know what was the joke
I did.
That I was
I
doing.
Did.
Yeah.
I don't remember how much it was, but
sorry. Here's the secret revealed from the Hunty and Ty. I'll respond to that in a second, honey. Not Ty Swoogles, but Ty, was it Skywalker?
Snywalker, yeah.
Snywalker, which is Hunty's brother. I went to his stream and pretended to be Wabs for like a month. Like, this is like, I subscribed to, and all, everything is hilarious. And he like thought he was interacting with Wabs, and it just made me laugh. Yeah, Hunty. Yeah, not gonna lie, I was overrun with stuff, and it worked out great. That's great. Yeah. I have like absolute adoration for Hunty. And like, the reality was, we needed a break where we didn't have the audio editor. Just as we were kind of reformatting the Patreon, reformatting all those things. So, and then when I eventually found something that made sense, we got Senator again. Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, that's the reveal, Hunter. Yes. It was me pretending to be Wabs.
I didn't know about it until after all of it was done and the final donation was sent.
Amazing. If you have any questions, like, this is a good time now to ask them, because it's gonna be mostly like a random question thing. We have one question that I did see from earlier questions that we're gonna start with if we don't get anything in the chat. And it's by our producer. Yeah. Does anyone know who the producer is? Do we have a producer?
I didn't know we had a producer, so
we don't. The joke is there's this guy that used to be on our Rocket League. The joke is, if there's a name for this podcast, it's The Joke Is. That's what I've been explaining jokes. That's a great podcast. We have a friend of ours that was on the show for a year or so, Tim, who in the Rocket League questions is the only person, well, not the only person, but he's someone who overruns us with Rocket League questions. But it's usually not Rocket League questions, it's usually like business questions. So that's like, you gotta tell Ty. Tell Ty that I was pretending to be
Wabs. What's your commercial throughput in the first financial quarter?
All right, so we'll throw this out to everyone, because I think this will work. I think this will be fine. So Tim's question is, and he says it's a long question, so we need our listening ears, everybody. In a slight departure from Rocket League, which I'm sure any of our Pokemon or Age of Empires listeners will be grateful. I don't think I've monopolized this in any way. I think it's been a very general Q&A. The quest for someone or something to be first is often chosen over being right or being good. Which, I mean, if that doesn't, like, you know, tell us the tale of this podcast, I mean, I don't know what will. Do you know the joke there, Wabs? Have you figured it out? Our quest is to be the first podcast, not necessarily the best podcast. Uh-huh. But anyway.
That's before we even started the ASAP.
Yeah. What do you mean?
No, I just completely forgot about that. That was like 4.5 years ago. How do you expect me to remember that?
We
were supposed to be the first artifact podcast. We weren't supposed to be the best. I think we were the first.
Yeah, that was literally it. That's what I was going for. And then hopefully through that practice, through that like month, we weren't the first.
Were we not?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I thought we were. Because we did it 2 weeks beforehand. We might have been second.
All right. Yeah. We were smart. We did it in the pre-release. Yeah. Business savvy us. All right. Which games or companies do you think focus on releasing first, like the individual game, so much that they miss the mark when it comes to quality? So this is actually a great general like video game question. I think anyone can answer. Do we have any company or specific games that you think of like, oh, they're literally just trying to release it first? I'm gonna start and Bobby. Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. I'm gonna start because I want to actually segue this to Box just saying, but I had a feeling like with AOE4, it kind of felt like that. It felt like they released a game that wasn't even done. They just wanted to release it because it was like the anniversary or whatever. I don't know if Box doesn't agree with me.
I don't know. They did do that. I don't know if that's why. I think arriving to market first rather than best is important. And historically, you can look at in different areas, like everybody wants a Band-Aid. We don't care about the brand, but that's a brand. Band-Aid is a brand, but it's synonymous with the little strip. There's Tylenol. You know, if I got a headache, I want some Tylenol. I don't need the brand Tylenol, but I'm not going to use the whole, you know, chemical name of whatever the mixture is.
Isn't that ibuprofen? So,
yeah, probably ibuprofen. So I think there's value in getting there first rather than being the best. That being said, I feel like video games today, because they can release and then patch on the internet, they don't worry about quality at all. And I don't know that sales suffer that much, because what else are we going to buy? You know, H4 came out. Am I going to put my money towards Company of Heroes instead? Like, they're not coming out for a year and a half. So I think it's just companies are getting relaxed and they don't have to have the quality on the front end. They can patch it on the back end. There are still huge issues, I think, in H4, just quality of life stuff that should have happened, that would have had to have happened for H2 because it was 1998 and half your buyers or less had internet, so you couldn't do subsequent patches.
That's fair. That's fair. Matt, what did you want to say about Game Freak?
Well, I think we can. I think anyone who's ever watched any footage of Scarlet and Violet or Sword and Shield or Arceus or pretty much any Pokemon game that's come out in the last like 5 years can tell that like there was maybe a final pass or 12 that were skipped before release.
No, I think that's
fair.
It's
just like, you know, when we look at the sun, the frame rate drops down to 12, but that's it's fine. It's not zero.
I mean, it's the setting of low expectations, I guess, why these games or these companies can get away with just releasing first, right? I mean, I would actually add to this point a little bit, because I think specifically to Tim's question is when we say releasing first, specifically when it comes to like games, I think it's tough too, because you also have to think of new genres in order to be like the first to release in the genre. Like that's a big thing, right? When Fortnite came out, like the Battle Royale genre, like everybody released those games afterward because that was like, oh, we've tapped into something that used to be H1Z1, right? And then PUBG and then Fortnite, right? But it's interesting because all those seem to like have replaced each other. Like I would say right now, surprisingly, I think Apex is like still really huge, right? Yep. And it was one of the last ones to release where I think they actually chose the quality over quantity. The thing is, they don't get the initial bump. Like they might get, they actually did get a little bit of fad, I think, like for the 2 weeks that as they released. But now it seems like one of those games that a lot more people go back to, right? As opposed to the other ones. I mean, it's also region dependent, I think, and country dependent. Mm-hmm. Like I think PUBG, for instance, is way more popular in certain countries than others, right? I'm thinking like New Zealand, Australia, like for some reason there was like a bigger scene for that specific game that stuck around. And I don't really know why that is. But I think in some ways being first actually has to do with creativity of like what new genre of game you're creating, right? Like Fall Guys is basic platforming with friends. It's like Jack in a Box with friends, but kind of, I don't know. They found
it's
something
all those
there.
Old, like,
it's just Mario Party, but only
you know,
the
it's
games
all those like Wipeout type game shows that you can play with your friends.
Yes, yes.
And all the characters are little blobs, so you don't feel bad about getting like whacked across the face and sent cartwheeling into like
exactly.
oblivion.
Yeah. So I guess the point is like, I don't think them fighting the genre is necessarily the bad thing. I think it's the fact that when there's a new fad, some of these games, instead of relying on quality to kind of beat out the competition, they try to go for being the first ones to release like whatever this new mechanic or this new idea is. Yeah,
I would also argue that it's often a common argument that like these days game developers release very broken games to the intention that they can fix them later, which is true to an extent, but older games are a lot more broken than a lot of people give them credit for.
Oh, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Like, it's just that a lot of the problems with old games aren't as widespread because, you know, we didn't have a robust internet culture when those came out. Mm. Like, I think the current any percent Ocarina of Time speedrun involves changing the cartridge to like change the game state with another game, and then you go back to Ocarina of Time and then you're just in Ganon's castle.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Is hilarious. Actually, to your point, because there's also a comment here from Chaos Maker, I can tell you my 8-year-old doesn't care about the glitches or quality issues, and I think that's another thing to keep in mind, right? Like as we're older, we're all like very critical about all these things, but I think the games themselves, I think that fun factor at the end of the day is so big too, right? Like all those old games, the glitches were features and not bugs, right?
Yeah.
And now,
you know,
maybe because the standard is so high and they release so frequently, It's tough too, because they ask, I think the biggest reasons that as adults we get so negative about some of these things is that the asking price for games now is $80, right? For like a AAA game. And as soon as that's the asking price, you're like, I don't know. I
mean, even that too, because like by inflation, we were paying more for games when we were kids, but we weren't paying for the games. So we didn't really have the impression of like, oh, I've lost all this money. You also like have a lot more free time as a kid. So, you know, if you had to redo a section because your character fell through the world, you're just laughing at the fact your character fell through the world. Not like, I only have 20 more minutes before my laundry's done. I want to finish this level.
I'm not worried about bugs as much. The new OU4 pup came out and Beastie Cutie found a bug in one of the buildings. It spawns a random unit every 30 seconds. If you if you tear the building down and rebuild it, or what, pack it up and unpack it with Mongols, it spawns the same unit again. So you can like spam, you can choose your unit basically.
Wow. You can micro.
That's a bug. That's a bug. Who would find that in testing? That's a silly thing. I get that. What bothers me is more like features. Like H4, you couldn't remap your keys for 9 months. Like, why? How is that on the backlog of like, oh, we'll get to that just whenever. Like, just put that in. Put that in the game. Those are the things that bother me more than bugs and glitches.
And I think it's maybe it has to do with our hope for success for some of these games. Like, I think AOE4 was hyped so much, right? There's a certain association that how much Microsoft is going to support it has to do with how much people like it, and we kind of see these things as the reason people aren't playing the game, right? When probably in reality the RTS pool at this point is so much smaller than it used to be of people who actually want to play RTS games. I enjoy watching RTS games, right? But especially when there's a new RTS game, it's like it's a lot of work that, I mean, I probably have, you know, 10 years or whatever of off and on playing these games where I can somewhat easily get into these new games. But like, if someone's played Fortnite, like a kid's played Fortnite for the last 5 years, it's like, I don't think they're going to be like, yes, let me learn how to control every unit in this army. This sounds like a fun thing where I'm going to have to practice for an hour.
Oh man, I can't wait to memorize build orders.
yes. That's very fair. That's very fair.
This is exactly like homework. Yay!
gamers.
I do think with RTS, there's two different groups that play RTSs. There's the build order nerds, like myself, that want to get competitive and want to play as best as possible. Then there's also, I think, a larger group that's kind of silent, that wants a creative mode. They want custom mods. They want custom scenarios. And I think that's where a lot of, we went over a video on this on the podcast, and I think we shared a link. Some StarCraft dude summarized it pretty well. That's what keeps a game, an RTS game, with longevity. It's having that creative mode, having that mod access, having a built-in mod component that H2 had, that I think StarCraft had, and some of the other games. Looking at
like Halo, that was big in Halo as well, right? Like
even first-person shooters that have that have more longevity. You get custom. Halo had a lot of like the griff ball. Like, that was one of my favorite modes in Halo. And I think it was somebody's custom game that they put into the main. So
that's what Empire I think companies had an entire about. Like giant modding scene that involved, you know, turning it into Halo RTS.
I respect that. You mean Halo Wars? No.
No. Just like space battles. Yeah, it was quite good. The Flood were terrifying.
Amazing. I'm just going to continue here. There's like 50 questions in Tim's question here, but I'm going to end it with the last part of it, which I think we can answer. What deserves, kind of bouncing off this, more credit for an industry or genre being successful? The one that came first, like the first thing that inspired the genre, or the one that implemented it correctly afterward?
I would go for the second.
And why is that?
History is full of the like or examples of different genres or mechanics or trying new ideas. Mm-hmm. But if they don't like do it correctly, they often just kind of get relegated to the waste bin of history. And, you know, people will pick them out years later and be like, oh, you know, that's when that first came out. But it's really the thing that, you know, does it correctly that everyone always, like, really remembers. And, like, there, it's not to discourage, you know, trying new things, but I just think that there's more credit to trying a new thing and doing it well than trying a new thing and not succeeding.
I don't even know if that part is necessarily true, though, because one of the biggest things here is honestly going to be advertising for it, and that's just, you know, the world we live in. We know that that's true. Because, and I'm going to use this example of Dota Auto Chess and TFT, and both of those were very full, complete games. Auto Chess was just a mod in Dota that was completely finished, and it was usable, it was good, it was a little bit janky in very small ways, but the real problem was that it was in the Dota engine, and it was using Dota characters, and Dota isn't the most appealing visually thing, if you're, you know, being honest. It's like the, you know, it's what Riot did best, and what Riot has always done best as a company, where they take a game that exists and they make it look incredible, make it look appealing, and make it accessible to everybody, and then just kind of wipe out a lot of the bugs. CSGO, Valorant, Dota 2 Auto Chess, and TFT, Dota and League. You could go back further with Warcraft 3 on that one if you wanted to. But that's just what Riot has always done, and that's the advertising bit, because those two games were competing, Dota 2 Auto Chess and TFT, and then TFT just took it. Dota 2 was the first, Auto Chess was the first one, but TFT clearly took that over.
Yeah. I give more credit to the originals, even if they're not remembered. But, like, we don't have... H1Z1 was
the best Battle Royale of all time.
I never played H1Z1. I never played PUBG. But I know we don't have Fortnite, we don't have Apex, we don't have Warzone without those. Because Call of Duty, they're going to keep doing the... These bigger corporations become very risk averse, and they're going to keep making the same damn Call of Duty for the next 30 years. And they do not make Warzone unless they see Fortnite's good, and Fortnite's not good unless H1Z and PUBG happens.
I think that's fair. I mean, it's tough because, like, sometimes the first adopters are the ones that make it super, like, big, and then sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes it's like they give the idea to someone else who can do it better, right? And so,
yeah. I think what I'm thinking of is less, you know, the ones who just do the exact same thing, but, like, with slightly better presentation and advertising. I'm thinking more of, like, they take an idea that didn't really, like, work in its first iteration. I don't know why I'm struggling to think of an example off the top of my head, but I know they are out there where they take something that didn't work in its first iteration, but they... put it into something that actually, like, you know, really meshes with that mechanic and allows it to really shine as it should have.
I've got a follow-up question. What games do you not understand why nobody's making another version of? Like, for me, it's NFL Blitz. What happened to NFL Blitz? Why don't I still have that somewhere where I can just button smash and drop kick somebody on the football field? Like, what are you guys, like, why did this get dropped?
Clearly,
because Blood Bowl took off so majorly.
I have not played Blood Bowl. Is it pretty good?
I actually haven't played it.
I'm a big Warhammer guy, but
yeah, I'm also a big Warhammer guy, but I've just never gotten around to playing it.
I mean, it's tough. I think certain games fill certain niches, and I think one of probably the reasons that some of these even smaller spin-offs or bigger games don't get renewed at some point is because we have beyond oversaturated some of these genres, right? Like, I think there's something to how little, like, I think the fact that, for instance, Nintendo has three big IPs, right? Is that fair? We got what, Mario, Zelda, Pokemon? Am I missing one here?
Metroid and
Okay.
I wouldn't call Metroid a big property.
Mainstream.
Okay,
I want it to be a big
property. In my heart, but Metroid, like, was, actually, for sure.
I think it still is. It just doesn't have games coming out. That's my theory.
Okay. the platformer was decent. But it's pretty good. But
it's really good.
I was gonna say the maybe the reason some of those games do so well with scarcity, as in they only release like a game in that specific IP every couple, like a year or 2 years, I think helps to it, because there isn't games that are quite like it, right? Like, I think, say what you want about the Pokemon genre, I don't think there's any specific like one-to-one, like, I don't know, Digimon, like, I don't know like what you would do where it would have enough competition for me to like seriously be like, okay, now this is the thing that everyone has decided is better and we're going to do this version of this, right? Which I think sometimes is in some game genres, like RTS, for instance. Like, I don't know if RTSs can get to a point, like, are we going to ever make a better game? You know, like, we can make different games, but I don't know if any of these games are so much better that I, like, all of a sudden everybody joins that and this is like the new RTS everyone plays, right? With Rocket League, I think Rocket League's unique in its own bubble, and there's a plus side that it's so individual, right? That it's a very individual, unique kind of setup for a game, right? Just with what you have to learn. But the problem is because there isn't that many games that are similar to it, you can't draw upon those fan bases as well. So yeah, I guess that's something I keep in mind.
Yeah, it's not exactly what you're talking about, where like they stop making these kinds of games, but like one type of game that I love but never like takes off, and nobody, and like sales are always disappointing for our like immersive sims, you know, like Dishonored, Prey, just Deathloop last year. They always get a huge amount of critical acclaim. They've always got these like iconic levels that are these like masterpieces of level design, and nobody plays them.
They just watch the one person who plays them, you know? That's usually how it ends up.
They watch Stealth Gamer BR just, like, jump across the level, assassinating everyone without being seen.
Yeah. I'm going to get to what Awesome has said here as well, just kind of to our kind of old games talk as well. A lot of people also don't appreciate how easy it is to mod newer games as well, since most older games you had to do all kind of things. Why would people not appreciate how easy it is to mod? I think if it's easy to mod your game in the game, I think that's actually very good. I don't think yeah. For me personally, I don't think third party is necessarily the way to go. Although, you know, because that just to me that, and I don't know if this is true, but it me smells a little bit of like elitism. What am I trying to say here? Elitism. Yeah, I can't say that word for sorry.
I think there's a little bit of truth there that people can have this perception of a lot of older games having. Like, you know, there was these big modder scenes, but a lot of those were created deliberately by the developers.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like people just cracked the source code one day in a lot of these cases. A lot of them are tools that the developer made. Like, Bethesda releases their creation kit every time that they release a game. You know, StarCraft really opens it up for the community. So
Age 2 has a mod kit that's installed with your software. I didn't know that until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I thought that was insane.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of mods today for games that don't explicitly, you know, come with support. So we have these, I guess, to, you know, it is easy today to be like, oh, you know, mod support's so easy, but it's easy to forget it is a deliberate thing that developers have to make.
Yeah.
A lot of the cases to have these really vibrant modding scenes, not just like, oh, we just changed, you know, model swap or changed the font from Times New Roman to Arial.
Best change.
This is part of why I advocate so much in Rocket League, at least, for a in-game and in the software modding thing, because like things like Baka's mod and all of the injectors and stuff that, you know, like Lethmere does and the other map creators, that stuff is incredible, but nobody can play it easily.
Yeah.
You have to go through a third-party software, you have to get an injector, you have to try and figure it out, you have to do some troubleshooting because there's inevitably going to be problems. And if they just had a actual mod support that was a tab in the game, then it would be open to everyone. And like, you can look at, I don't even know how many genres of games, Warcraft 3, developed just by existing as a modding scene and having such an open modding, modding ability. There were tons of things that just came from that. And I think there was a prior one that was also like Warcraft 3 might've also been a mod of, and not having this open ability of modding, not having all of that, not having things just being there and being simple and being accessible, I think is one of the biggest mistakes that larger companies at least now are making, I guess.
Now, there is also the interesting point of view that there are genres of games where mods can be more controversial.
Yeah, and this is another bit of why I think that in-game stuff is even more important, because look at WoW.
Yeah, no, like I was building up to that, because I play 14, but I've also played a bit of WoW as well, and the difference between mod acceptance between those two games is wild.
It's honestly disgusting. Just what the screens look like at this point is just so inaccessible to anybody who doesn't have this massive list of mods. And they're an expected thing that you have to have, otherwise people will get mad at you. And if you don't have them, you're not meeting your quotas and you're not doing all the things. And you literally can't do the battles sometimes if you don't have these mods, because they'll tell you what the stuff is. And they're building the games expecting you to have these mods and add-ons. But they're not a base thing that's in the game. You have to go to third-party software for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why I prefer 14, because I can do my raids in peace knowing that they actually tell me all the information I need to.
Yeah,
you don't need all these third party things.
I don't need a third party mod drawing a map on my screen in real time to show me where to stand.
Yep,
because there's 72 different lasers pointing in different directions.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to say, Wabs, what do I usually say once we've answered a question?
Question. I forget what answered. The second word is.
It's answered. Just answered. I just answered. Answered. I deleted it. I delete it. Deleted. I say answered. I delete it. It's gone.
I wasn't sure if you said never answered or deleted.
Yeah. Now, I think maybe at this point in the show, because we're kind of. I hope everyone's enjoying it. I hope this kind of general video game topics. I'm like, now my mind's already rolling. ASAP Weekly Video Game Podcast. It's already spinning here, right? General video game stuff. That wouldn't be an oversaturated market at all. But I think Box of Saint would fit right in. I think visually, I think the rest of us would have to catch up. Honestly,
yeah,
we could do some offline stuff.
No, I think Box of Saint
glasses with horizontal lines through them.
I'll get you guys in touch with my tailor. I'll get you some.
okay, let me know. Yeah, merch. We have merch apparently. That's right. Yeah. We have hats that dogs wear, and they look really cool.
That is true.
But it's not to say that a human can't wear them. It's just we have some fun photos of people putting.
No, it's illegal for humans to wear them. If a human wears any of our merch, the police will be by momentarily.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, but I think we're at a point in the show where I think I should leave it now up to the three kind of, co-hosts of mine from the different shows here to ask some, we'll say, daring questions. All right. We're 4 years in. All right. Is there something that you're really curious about that you can stump me specifically to do with the podcast? Okay. I'm not going to tell you about other stuff. But I'm gonna leave it to the host here. I mean, we could talk about Romance Corner a little bit.
Is Romance Corner considered part of the podcast? That's what I was gonna ask.
Okay. So
make the official divide. Is it a part of the podcast, or is it just for patrons and pre-show?
Well, no, I've made it for patrons and pre-show over time, right? So Romance Corner was a really dumb idea that I had, but I thought it was very heartwarming and intriguing. But parasocial relationships and saying way too much about yourself on podcasts is a bad idea. And so slowly transitioned from being part of the Rock League show to now just being part of the Patreon. I don't know. I think Romance Corner is great. I think if it was ever to become a quote-unquote official podcast, it would be less personal and be more like, in this situation, in a relationship, what should you do? And then we discuss it. I think that upper tier potential for a podcast.
Here I can solve the podcast for you. In this tier of relationship, what do you do? Step one, talk with your partner.
and don't lie. Be very clear as to what you're talking about.
Yeah, talk to your partner. Don't be scared. And don't lie. Say exactly what you're thinking. I've solved relationships.
This is great. All right. So there you go. There you have it. It's now only a Patreon exclusive. Okay.
And I'm sorry I spoiled everything there.
Yeah, you spoiled the podcast, right? We can't do another.
That was 200 episodes worth of content.
That was 200. Box is saying, you got any tough hitting questions to hit me with here?
What's your end game? When do you stop this? You know,
when do I stop this?
10 years down the road, you're 10 years older. Are you too old to be running 20 podcasts? Or
I think at some point, I think I can maintain a once a week schedule at some point. I don't know what that will mean for the podcast specifically, but I think that is a realistic thing to continue doing. Regardless of whether the community grows or not grows, I think that is realistic for me to record one show a week. I think I can keep that going specifically. It doesn't necessarily have to be the same show. It could be the same show. What it will look like, that's another matter. I think very comfortably. Obviously, I think there are certain things that I've probably kept. I probably am at a point where there's also part of me that wants the quality of the people, like the people who are on the show, to be actively involved in the thing that they're talking about. Right. And for me, as we were talking about earlier in the show, like some of the times, like I don't have the time to be as involved with these games as I think I should be for the sake of the show. Right. And so that's why you'll probably start seeing more guests and more other things, except for Pokemon, which I can close my eyes and, you know, we'll keep doing that show. We can do that show till forever, Matt.
we can do it without even any new Pokemon games coming out. We can just make up new Pokemon games. We know the formula. Walk through a field. You come across an old man with a bag, and he gives you 3 Pokeballs.
But the reason I say that is because, like, I think with that specific thing, we can format it to be a twice a year show, or it can become a once a year show and be very practical to do for the next 30, 40 years. Okay. So,
yeah.
With some of the other ones that are involved with these games, I think, and actually, this will jump right into what Chaos Makers asked. I think it's one of those things. Well, it'll have to depend on one. If I see the community growing, right, then I think that will add to how much involvement I'll have with the games, right? I think a big one, I think I've talked with Labs about this, but like UE5 is probably the next horizon or the next staging point for the Rocket League podcast. Mm-hmm. So once that is implemented, so Unreal Engine 5 is implemented to Rocket League, right, in the modding community, can actually go back to our earlier thing, can actually be part of the game. I think that'll be a point where we'll probably go all out for however long we can and see if there's something big we can do go from there. I think that'll be probably a big staging point. I think Age of Empires is very solid, but as you're seeing, Boxer's saying, right, like I am down to be there once a month, right? But if I need that regular content, it's not going to be me that's on these shows. So I think in the future, eventually, a lot of these shows, I'll be more the manager, right? And the amount that I'll actually be on shows will be less, but I think that'll be fine, right? And by less, I mean 4 shows a month.
Yeah, we'll just transition the Pokemon podcast to be me and Tristan talking about Final Fantasy 14 or whatever game we're playing at the time.
We'll figure it out. So to Chaos Makers, do you have any thoughts on trying to advertise more and grow the community? I joined the Discord because of the podcast, but stuck around for the community. Yeah, the community, I think, is absolutely great. I think that's another big thing that's been driving the podcast, right? Apart from just like, you know, me speaking to my friends as I joked about every week, I think one of the reasons specifically the Rocket League show has kept up so much or done like continued throughout the thing is the fact that we've had a community behind it as well, right? And it has to do with stretching me, because like I think things like game nights and tournaments are really important for the community specifically, where all the people from the community go and play the game right together. But I think it stretches me personally to do a lot of those things. Like a box is saying, like we were talking about Age of Empires 2, right? We have the tournaments, and I think those are really important to have like once a month or once every 2 months, right? But on top of it, it's like, I need to be realistic as well, right? I think as well as when my situation career-wise stabilizes, right, when I have some sense of what my future will be, and a lot of those things are, we'll say, automated, right, I can also probably put in more, a little more money into the podcast. There is a certain amount I'm not going to go above, but I can probably put a little more, just so that some things are automated, right? Like those tournaments, like some having someone run a tournament every month, right, that has our branding and everything. For a certain amount of money, like that might be a way to do those things and have the community involved. But I would like the thing to grow, right? But I'm also a little realistic. A lot of these things that succeed are hobbies that then there is, of whatever reason, a big spike, and then it becomes something you can potentially pursue as, I'll call it a side hustle, then quote unquote a career, right, later on. But until those things happen, I think just being consistent is really important. The fact that we've been around for 4 years is really important. By the way, thank you, Loganator, for the happy 4 years. Thank you so much for the love. But yeah, it's one of those things where I would like to see it grow. I'd like to do more advertising. I'd like to do more regular content. But what I've realized, and especially like, for instance, with guests, right? Every time there's a guest on, it doesn't necessarily... Very rarely do I feel like the guests necessarily bring in so many people that it makes a big jump, right? And maybe an accumulation of guests might start seeing gradual increases. But the trends for me have been pretty regular, like pretty consistent for a lot of their shows, whether it's slight curve up, big curve up, small curve up, summertime. Like, like if I go year over year, there's certain periods that it's always less of or more of. I think December is the funniest month because you can get like right at the beginning of December, you can get less people. But then like when it's like Christmas break, you get more people because like people have more time to like think about listening to podcasts. Although you have the counter thing where it's like if there's too much vacation going on, people aren't like busing or like driving for long periods of time to work because they're on vacation. It's a regular vacation time, so they might not be listening to the show. But yeah, hopefully that answers your thing. Castmaker adds here. Them just a single ASAP Discord with all different games in one place would make the community grow. I like this. I honestly forget about the AOE Discord community, but probably hop in more if the community was all in one place. It's not a bad idea. It's tough for me though. Wabs, do you have any thoughts on this? As I think about what my answer is.
I would probably say it'd be a decent idea. Like it'd actually be a pretty good idea. And then we could just add hidden like role-based sections of the Discord, which I think is relatively easy to do. We already have that set up with a couple roles.
Yeah. It's one of those things though. The only thing that I concern myself is if I add everyone in the Rocket League Discord about a Rocket League thing, it's like a certain knowing people that are like in Age of Empires, mm-hmm. right? Or they're in Pokemon.
That's the biggest reason to...
Although we don't have anyone in Pokemon, right, Matt?
Yeah, no, the current Pokemon Discord is basically just the three of us sitting around.
I have three Discords. One of them is just us. Because I haven't invited anyone to it. And I have thought about it, but because, you know, I respect Matt and this is just us hanging out, there's Pokemon's a big enough community, okay? They don't need an individual community, another individual community like ours.
You can automate roles, so then you can just at AOE players or just at Rocket League players.
Just set up a special role for me, so we can only see one channel where we just remind each other about podcast times.
You're the only two that see it. You know, maybe someone else who have administrative privileges. I don't even remember if WAVS has administrative privileges at this point. Do you have destroy the server privileges? No, I think only one person has that.
Yes, only one person has that.
Yeah, but it will just be like you'll go in and everyone else like sees like, you know, we'll have like a mass of like all the things. Actually, this will be a good point. If anyone does listen to this, can you comment in the Discord if you'd like this, especially the AOE community? Because the Rocket community, the Discord is big enough that like us adding something and then only doing specifically at Rocket League, I don't think is going to be the end of the world. And then when we have crossover shows like this, like specials like this, like and add everyone on one place, so that's not bad. But I think specifically the AOE community would want to do that. And that might be nice. It'd be weird. Well, because we just eventually have like Rocket League General Age. Yeah, I think it's doable, actually, now that I think about it. This will be something that I'll ponder for a little bit, and then I'll see what I decide to it. Too much space? Hey, man. Too much space. Thank you so much for continued support. Yeah, all is well. All is well. You're joining in right at the end of it here. Okay, maybe we'll do one more. Anyone have one more? Matt, I don't know if Matt has a hard-hitting question. I don't know if any of you three have a hard-hitting question.
I got so distracted by the previous conversation. I think I had one, but I forgot it.
I think if anyone, three of you, the three of you has a hard-hitting question, you're going to hit me with it, and then
I know
Matt's question. Okay. And yes, Matt, it is real.
What's your question?
Look, I had facial hair 2 days ago. I just shaved. If you could only keep one podcast,
that hurts,
and all the others would be lost to the wind. Like, you know, you got a new job, but it's in like Nunavut, and you can only be like online like 1 hour every week. Which podcast would it be?
Romance Corner.
You two are invited.
Yeah. This is it. This is the show. This would be Romance Corner. It'd be the ASAP Weekly video game podcast where you had an hour and we have to fit in every topic and all the things that we're interested in into that 1 hour. That's what I would do. It would be maximum content packed into an hour. Actually, might make for a very fast moving show if I only have an hour limit. I'm just like talking really fast. It'll be hyped up. We'll be waving, you know, boxing super high in the energy background. Yeah. Tim's saying drop the RL podcast for sure. Dead game. Yeah, Tim. So, I mean, I think this is one of the reasons that I'm starting to like not want to have Tim on the Rocket League podcast. Because all Tim does is if he's on the Rocket League podcast, complain about how he doesn't play Rocket League anymore. So it kind of makes it like he wants to talk about like the business esports side, and I like that stuff too. But I'm like, if you're just gonna trash Rocket League the whole time, like I don't think people listening to a Rocket League podcast want to continuously hear people just say they don't like Rocket League.
It adds engagement for that target demographic of all the people who don't play Rocket League.
Which is good for this podcast, but not good for the weekly Rocket League podcast.
Yeah, but what if I want to watch a Rocket League podcast, but I don't play or know anything about Rocket League?
Tim is a bot. Tim actually started the bots in Rocket League because he wanted to get rid of it all. Okay. RL's a real life. Yes, the real life podcast is the one I'll drop. No, I think it's one of those things where naturally, I mean, I've talked about it. I think I'm going to be managing some of these things more in the background as time goes on. I think that's just the natural progression. But I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily, and I think it'll be good because as like new opportunities arise, maybe there'll be new people who are interested in doing podcasts, and literally they'll just, if they're good at it and I trust them, which is another thing as well, and they reach out and they're like, hey, it's me, my friend, we want to like do a show for this. I mean, like, that'll be just things I accept, and then we'll work out how that works in the background. But yeah, I think it's good. Yes, the for those of you who didn't miss the live show here, I'll be putting the VOD with the audio probably up tomorrow. I'm gonna try to get it in tomorrow. I'll be putting that up on the YouTube. I think I'll put that both on the Rocket League YouTube and on the live YouTube, because I have two channels now, although nobody knows about the second one. The AOE community has kept that second one. It's like, it's kind of for the AOE community, I feel, the second one. Because it's a lot of rock AOE stuff. Anyway, yeah, so you can watch the whole VOD there, or you can just listen to the show, because it'll be out on all the feeds shortly. I think this is maybe a good time. Tim, you were featured in the show, by the way, so congratulations. Yeah.
You just weren't on it.
I'd like to thank all our patrons who help support the show and provide you with lovely content. As in the pre-show for this episode, I was desperately trying to create the images.
Crop wars of,
yes, the crop wars. Yes, that's a good way to put
15
it.
Minutes ago.
I have some things to say about Streamlabs, but I'll digress. I'd like to thank our patrons, Zodiac22, Too Much Space. We got Chaos Maker, Space Bear. We got, oh my goodness, I should know this, Frank, Awesomeness, Raz, Digital Toast, Paint, Rook, your boy Hunty, and Young Slug. Thank you so much for your continued support. Helps us out so much. All of you were awesome. I'd like to maybe give a moment here to each of the co-hosts here that are on the show, if they have any last things they want to say, people to shout out, thank their mom, I don't know. We'll go clockwise, starting from Box. Just saying, what do you have to say, Mr. Gatorade?
Just shout out to my agent, Gatorade, Under Armour, all my sponsors, the Tom Brady Foundation, Kobe Bryant Foundation, all the groups that support me and what I do. We're gonna keep swinging, and we'll see you guys in the Age of Empires podcast. Nope, that's my agent right now. He's calling about the Under Armour.
Oh, you gotta go. Okay, yeah.
500,000 or I'll walk. I'm not. Yeah, that's it. I don't care. I'll change Gatorade to Powerade. I don't care. Oh my god, I meant to mute. I'm sorry, guys. I got to hear that.
No worries. Nothing bad came through.
Wavs, what's your final expression here on the 4th anniversary?
I'm gonna shout out you, Zero, and just as like the lifeblood, the heart of the network, I guess. Not just
the
one
blood that spills continuously.
The blood that spills continuously. The reason it's still going. And so shout outs to you.
Nice. Matt?
I'm going to shout out Tristan for being the third part of our Pokemon podcast, who shows up when his work schedule doesn't leave him going to bed at 4 a.m. the previous night. Or morning, rather. Shout out to him for when I first mentioned that I was going to be doing this Pokemon podcast. He said, "Oh, that sounds fun," and I took him completely seriously and inducted him, and mostly against his will.
Amazing. I also thank Matt from our Age of Empire podcast. He's the other reoccurring host. I do have now on the schedule, there's Matt and there's a Pokemon bracket, and there'll be like another Matt, it'll be AOE bracket, so there you go. he's been on, so thank you. It's fun because like he's kind of, we're doing the AOE 4 stuff a little more with Matt, and then with Boxer Sam we do the AOE 2 stuff. So
you went to high school with me, you know I have no problem with there being other Matts.
Yes, there was a lot of Matts in our high school.
I don't think any Matt has to or can have a problem with other Matts.
Yes. I like to also shout out everyone in the chat who's watching. Thank you so much for continuously watching. I like to shout out Messi and Cursor, who've been very much involved in the past year. I would say literally as the show's going, the fact that Cursor and Messi have been around has helped the Rocket League show stay consistent. And now with kind of our scheduling kind of working out and us playing it out, it'll very much, they'll be featured prominently throughout the upcoming year. So I'd like to thank them. I'd like to thank Elias, who's been the show from time to time. I'd like to thank Prof, who was a great guest. He was a coach for Rock League, but he was a great, insightful guest. Wabs, who am I missing without Ty. Going too much into the weeds?
Ty Swoogles.
Yes, Ty was great. The rumor informant, the man who knows all the things in the background of the Rocket League scene, the shadow puppet,
master of whispers,
Rocket League podcast. Yes, I guess thank Hunty for all the thing that he did for the show before. Dave, since we are here, Dave, shout out to Dave. And then what else? What did I miss? Did I miss anyone? I think we've had people over the years. I'm sure. I'd like to thank Trident. And Sir Cam and Mike for being the reoccurring, they have a cameo role of former roommates of ours. That is literally their cameo role from time to time.
Never been on, been mentioned multiple times.
There's a couple of AOE guys that have been on and off, but yeah, oh my goodness. Egg was on the show for a little bit. There's also Chris was on the show for a little bit, so thanks for them for helping me out as well. And I think Raven, yes, for the first episodes of the Rob and Kyle show. I don't know if Wabs remembers, so there you go, my friend. Yes, she was on, and then I think that's it. I think I thanked everyone watching. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you all in the future. If you have any questions, any things you want to message me, you can message me either in Discord if you're in any of the Discords, or also you can always email weeklyasap@gmail.com if you have anything to add on. All right, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Awesomeness. I hope you're doing well. We'll keep you. Hopefully you have a great, great week. Your homework, should you choose to accept it, which is a staple of the Rocket League thing, is to find out if you could be as cool as Boxer saying. Can you get that drip? Do you have a wardrobe? One time this week, go into your wardrobe, wear something more extravagant than you usually would wear. That's your challenge for the week.
I'll save you guys the time. You can't.
Yeah, I agree. Just can't. But I like the homework.
Get drip. I mean, like, one day. You have a neon sign with like branding on the wall, like that's a high bar for people to clear.
Everybody's got to have a hero, and I'm that guy. So I just want to be that.
You're not that guy. You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy. It's not impossible. I agree. All right, everyone, have a great one. We're ending the stream here. We'll see you next time on the different shows. Peace.
Bye.
See you.
Like a Boxer saying doesn't have to say it.
I know. I like the point instead of the say.
Lazero has a poster of me on his wall right now. It's off camera. He'll never show it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.